We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hey, John Boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
And with the White Sox in New York, a very special day for us at MLB Network on Tuesday. The great Liam Hendricks and his wife, Christy, will be in studio with us to talk about their inspiring story.
Me and Christy, when we got to Chicago, we wanted to make sure that we left the city a better place than we got to it. And I think that ovation and that kind of emotion going through it, I think just shows that we've somewhat accomplished the job so far, and hopefully we can continue it on for the rest of our tenure.
It was just, you know, awesome. That's like the best way to describe it.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me, it means the world.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
He's in New York. They're not playing a baseball game because it looks like the world's ending out there. John Morosi on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. The news is a doubleheader tomorrow with White Sox and Yankees, JP, but paint a picture for us.
Well, good evening, and I certainly had hoped that I'd be at Yankee Stadium right now giving you a great report on the White Sox BP and the lineup and everything going on, but obviously it's a very different day, and it's been surreal. You could just tell the photos I'm sure you've seen of what New York and New Jersey look like. I'm actually back here at our MLB Network studios speaking to you here over the phone, and it's been a lot of uncertainty today. I've driven up close to Yankee Stadium, but that was right when we got word that the game had been postponed, so turned around and came back here. So it's just been very eerie. I would say that the sky has been this really odd hue of orange, a little bit of redness, you thought at different times, ominous, eerie, all of those things. And even when I landed here last night, walking around town, it didn't smell right. It smelled, it was that kind of a noxious smell that when you're walking around it, it was like a bonfire going on everywhere. And it was like you could taste that really noxious scent. It was pretty awful, to be honest with you. And so I think MLB eventually made the right call today. I could just tell myself, you know, a little bit of a scratchy throat. It's an uncomfortable day. It's an uncomfortable environment to be in. And I think you have to not only think about the players, but also the fans and the staff and everybody that would be there tonight. It's sadly not the right day to play. And I think too, this is a big reminder of the interconnectedness of the sports world, the interconnectedness of our world, broadly speaking, in terms of the environment. Obviously, these wildfires are happening in Canada, up in Nova Scotia and in Quebec, a pretty good distance away from where I am right now, and yet it's impacting us. And I think this is one of those days where, candidly, looking at the science of it and how dry the spring and summer have been here in this area, and this is one of those days where it's a reality of the changing nature of our climate impacting our daily lives in this very what in the grand scope of the world is a relatively trivial matter of a ball game. But I think it drives home that point for all of us, just how interconnected and honestly how vulnerable all of our pastimes are when something that's happening a good distance away from here is actually having a very negative impact on the air that we breathe.
Rescheduled as part of a doubleheader tomorrow. We'll see if the air quality even allows for that. And it's obviously a much bigger situation. But we will not let it derail our baseball conversation with John Morosi.
Right.
No way. So
he's talking about the end of the world and breathable air.
Yep.
You're like, eh.
We talk to him, what, once every couple of weeks? I mean, I get excited.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is important every now and then. I mean,
You're right.
I feel like there's a lot riding on this conversation because my undergraduate degree, not that I've ever actually used it, it actually was in environmental science and public policy. So you're probably talking to,
wow,
I would suppose, the right baseball insider on this particular day. We don't have to delve into the granular particulars of climate change or the friction of the air as the ball travels off it in a polluted environment like this. But yeah, this has been a day where my reflections have often gone back to what I studied once as a young man and what still we have to do as citizens now.
Well, you know,
keep calling out Jeff Passan.
but Passan would be lost in this conversation, Morosi.
Rosenthal
sure
has
Jeff,
no idea.
Jeff could stand toe-to-toe and talk about anything with anybody at any time. I've got complete confidence in my friend.
Well,
yeah, just ask him.
Look, yeah, see, this is the big deal here, is that the White Sox, they're back up to 8 games under .500. Their run differential is minus -46, but they're 4.5 games back. And actually, they've been playing pretty well. Over the last 30 days, their team ERA is third in all of baseball, J.P. Morosi. So some things are going well. Kenny Williams came out over the weekend, told our Bruce Levine that they're going to win the division. They have a shot still?
They do. And I think that's why we have to collectively pump the brakes on the Giolito trade talk or Graveman or anybody else that we would mention. And certainly I think those possibilities still linger out there somewhere in the distance. But the way they've played of late has affirmed the reality, especially when you look at their division, that there really is not a team in the Central that the White Sox should be afraid of. Let's be honest here. And they're a game back of Cleveland, and Cleveland's in second place, and they've really I think Cleveland has underperformed what their talent could be. Detroit has not been the same team since Riley Green and Eduardo Rodriguez were injured. The Royals obviously are in last place. And then you really start looking at it and saying, how much are you worried about the Twins? And the Twins have lost 3 straight. So I think that we can all look at this White Sox team with clear-eyed vision in 2 different ways. Number one is, yes, they are flawed. Yes, they have underperformed badly over the last couple of years. That can all be true, but it can also be true that they still have a chance to win the division, and that when you are 4.5 games back of a vulnerable first-place team, generally speaking, you don't sell. Now, if they did decide to sell, I would say that Giolito throwing 6 no-hit innings and being dominant against the Yankees in New York probably got the attention of some GMs around the league. But as I said, we're not there yet. And Kenny Williams, knowing how competitive Kenny is, his disposition, I think, is always such that he would look for a reason to hold or buy,
yep,
as opposed to looking for a reason to sell. Where I think Cleveland, they, when all things are equal, if they're kind of stuck in the middle, they tend to sell. The White Sox, all things being equal, tend to buy or hold. And so I would expect that we go with the past track record. And I think the White Sox would have to fall back pretty significantly for a Graveman deal, for a Giolito deal to become a reality.
JP, do you believe that as soon as next year, the umpires will have some sort of help via technology on balls and strikes?
I don't know if I would say that I'm confident in that happening next year. I do think that within the next several years we will see that. And I think that I like the way you phrased the question, Danny, because some form is a good way to talk about it, because there are two very different realms. There is the automated ball strike call at all times, and then there is the 3 challenges per game. Different versions of this, of course, have been piloted at different levels of the minor leagues and the partner leagues for MLB to test this. And where I think there is good common ground would be those 3 challenges per game. Because I'm someone who believes that the vast majority of umpires do an excellent job the vast majority of the time. And they do. They really do. But there are certainly a few calls here or there that can change an entire game. And remember, that was the reason that we had instant replay to begin with. We wanted replay because we did not like the fact that Jim Joyce was the biggest story in American sports for 2 weeks and is still talked about to this day. We wanted something that would keep umpires from becoming the story. And still, when there's an egregious miss, which happens because we're all human, they become the story in a big way. And I think if you have those three challenges, we all see it is probably the single easiest thing to replay in baseball. The irony is here, baseball has done the hard stuff first in terms of a call, the bang bang play at first base, the bang bang tag on a steal at second, how that play can look, and it can take some time to really evaluate that. If the ball is in or out of the box on a video screen, we've been able to figure that out since the days of the Atari video game system 40 years ago. So we've got that one pretty well figured out. And I think that would take 2 seconds. Okay, is it in? Is it out? Okay, good. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We're playing. And that is like a three-second appeal. And I think that umpires would be okay with that. And I think that managers and players would too. Because one of the things that I think that some people in the game are concerned about is that pitch that's never been a strike, that misses the catcher's glove by 6 inches, but catches some little piece of that 3D plate, and all of a sudden that's a strike. And I think that really people in the game don't want that to be a strike, I don't think. And I think they're okay with some imperfections and some nuance, but let's help umpires get the biggest calls right.
John, that all makes sense, and I've talked to people in the minors who love the challenge system. Right now, the challenge system is 4 days a week in the minors, and the full automatic system is the first 3 days. So Theo's gaining data. He's generating data, and is it data or data? He's generating data, and he'll make his choice based on that. Wanted to ask you about the Braves, what they've been doing. It's fascinating to me. Spencer Strider, a very aggressive promotion a little more than a year ago, and he was amazing. Then they did it again, and then they did it again with this kid, A.J. Smith-Shawver, who has not made, I believe, more than 3 starts at high A, double A, or triple A, and is now in the majors. Is this a sign of things to come, what the Braves are doing with these aggressive promotions?
Well, it's a great question. I think that the Braves, first of all, this plan doesn't work well unless you've got a really good scouting director and a really good player development system. And that's one of the reasons why Dana Brown right now is the GM of the Astros, because this was what he did so well for the Braves, is getting the right guys. And Smith-Shawver is one of Dana's picks. I think that I really am interested and intrigued by Alex Anthopoulos' strategy here. And, of course, Mike Soroka has struggled. That's why he got sent back down to the minor leagues and why Smith-Shawver is up now. There seems to be an awareness, and this might sound a little cold, but I think it's just the reality of the game, that if you are really too deliberate developing pitchers, that sometimes you might be shortening the number of quality major league pitches that you're going to get out of that arm. Every arm has only so many miles in it. And certainly there's a variance of that outcome, but there's only so many bullets that each arm has, so to speak. And I think that you're seeing the Braves say, wait a minute, we are in our competitive window, and I'm not going to let talented pitchers throw some of their precious pitches that they've got left in their arm against single A hitters, against double A hitters, when we think they can help us win major league games right now for a team that we believe can win the World Series. Now, not every team is the same. Not every team's window is the same. There are probably teams that are still building to where it wouldn't make sense for the Kansas City Royals to rush up a pitcher to the major leagues right now. But I think for the teams that are in it, the Braves are one. Certainly that fits that description. That maybe Texas with the DeGrom injury, maybe somebody else steps in, and obviously Dane Dunning's already done a very good job there. But I really think, Matt, that you're seeing certain teams, and the Braves are one, that are saying, you know what, to heck with this, you got to have 100 innings at this level and then 150 the next one. No. If you're ready, I want your pitches at my major league team, because honestly, with all pitchers in this world, we don't know how many innings you've got, how many pitches you've got. So when we are in win now mode, you're going to darn well be using those pitches where you can help me win a World Series championship.
This is just not enough time every 2 weeks, JP. Get your butt to Chicago. Let's go. Let's go hang out at a ballpark.
Now, I've got that. It's a great suggestion. I've been looking at my schedule, and I've got some ideas there. Probably second half, probably post All-Star break. But my friends, we're going to make this happen.
See you, buddy.
All the best, guys. Thanks so much.
That's John Morosi, MLB Network. More Bears talk still to come. People, I interacted with them in the wild today. I have reports on all of you. It's a situation. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.